Kamenetsky Brothers, Land O'Lakers podcast. Brian Kamenetsky and Kamenetsky, co-host of the Land O'Lakers blog, coming to you Sunday evening following, Andy, the fourth loss by the Lakers to the Los Angeles Clippers, this time 109-95. Can't say it was because of the hostile road atmosphere. That building was at least half full with Laker fans.
Yeah, it was actually funny. At the end of the game, you heard some Clipper fans start to try to get a sweep chant going, but it didn't really happen because they forgot half or more of this arena is actually Laker fans.
It worked better than it would have otherwise, like if they had tried it like in the third quarter, because at that point the Laker fans were still in the building. Half of the Laker fans had left, so at least they had that going.
But still, either way, I mean, it was just funny though, because it's difficult to get a chant going when, you know, half or more of the arena isn't interested.
Right, we respectfully disagree.
At that point, you just become like that one douche who's trying to get a wave thing going, like who just can't
get... Who's with me?
Who can't get the rest of the arena to cooperate with them.
So a lot to talk about this, including whether or not the Clippers, who have now won their first Pacific Division championship ever, ought to hang the banner at Staples Center. We know a lot of Laker fans would look upon that with mocking and derision. We'll get into that question. But I got to say, we also have Kitten Bowl questions coming up, the brand new Kitten Bowl. Some questions about a big week for the Lakers, to say the very least. But I'm disappointed, Andy, here, because I was already... We get these tweets and emails all the time. Why are you guys so negative? It's like you always focus on the negative with this team.
Because they're battling to get into the playoffs, jackass.
But, I mean, you know, come on. You accentuate the positive.
It kills me to say this. It kills me to say this stuff, man. I'm the actual Laker fan, Brian. I mean, I'm the guy who actually... I'm the guy that actually gets wrapped up in this. It's not like I'm taking pleasure.
You're the one who, as we noted a couple weeks ago, wants to have him taken out back and shot. Old Yeller style.
This is just tough. It's been tough to watch.
But I was ready. I mean, because things have gotten... I wrote a post for the Land O'Lakers blog this week about how the Lakers, the defense had started to turn. Pau Gasol playing much better basketball and continued that this afternoon against the Clippers. 12 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists. I mean, he played well. And Powell's been very good since those first two games where he came back and was terrible. You start to put together, going into the Clipper game, they had 11 quarters consecutively where they hadn't allowed more than 23 points. I mean, they were, you know, averaging, I think it was like 20.7 points a quarter. I mean, like, all right. And so if they'd won Sunday afternoon, if they had beaten that, they beat a really good Memphis team.
Yes, they did. Who's been good on the road as well.
Yeah. And that was a gritty game, a tough game. It was okay.
Oddly coached game by Lionel Hollins. It was very strange to me that both Tayshaun Prince and especially Tony Allen were not playing much in the fourth quarter.
And they didn't have on Kobe. Although I will say, Kobe's stat line at the end of the game, you didn't look up and go like, why, you know, Kobe destroyed. He was 10-23 from the floor.
It was
weird.
Unusual.
It wasn't what you expect. But you start to put all those things together. And I know I've said all year long, you have to use the evidence that's in front of you. But I was ready today, if they won Sunday, to come in and at least play devil's advocate and start presenting to you, the super negative guy, the hater, why the Lakers could at least challenge some people in the playoffs. I was ready to play that role, and I'm not sure I would have believed it all, but I would have done it and maybe convinced myself and a few of you people in the process. I can't do that now.
Well,
by 14 again. They're now 3-14 against top five teams in the West.
It became obvious after one quarter against the Clippers, the first one, that this plan was going awry, because you were basing a lot of this on the defense,
yeah.
And the defense fell apart by the time the first quarter ended.
The first 6 minutes were so good, though.
They were good.
The Clippers had, I think, 9 points in the first 6 minutes. I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go in there, and we're going to have a debate. I'm going to talk about Dwight getting better and Powell improving. And look, they're doing all this without Nash and this and that.
And whatever. No meta.
And no meta world peace, who thinks he's ahead of schedule and is going to come back, like, you know, by the end of the week.
We also did not verify, though, for meta that he knows which month it is right now,
right,
what week it is, when the playoffs begin.
Or quite frankly, which knee he injured. It was just disappointing. And you go in and look, maybe it's a matchup thing. Clearly the Clippers, the Lakers do not match up well with the Clippers. I think we can all agree. But I was ready to at least, because I want, if they're going to get in the playoffs, and it's still not guaranteed they will, and we'll talk about it a little bit more like that, I want them to have a shot. Otherwise, what's, as Kobe said after the Memphis game, if you're just going to get there to get your asses kicked, what's the point?
As I said last week in one of our podcasts, as a diehard fan, there's been a part of me that doesn't want them to go to the playoffs, because I feel like it's going to be exceptionally depressing to just have it lead up to a 5-game series loss or a sweep, or whatever.
You compared it to keeping a sick pet alive more to satisfy yourself,
exactly,
and than honoring the needs of your pet. But you know, it's gonna be. I want them to be competitive when they get there. Or I agree with Kobe. What's the point if you can't believe that they have a shot at pulling off the upset? But you know, and speaking of Kobe, I mean the big thing coming out of this game, the big debate point, and it was our Twitter feed.
Because the reasons that they lost are pretty similar to the reasons that they've lost most games this season, and particularly against good Clippers. Teams that can run.
Right. And yeah, you know, the big
or even our bad Twitter teams feed, that can run.
At Cam Brothers, yeah, it's a very good point. Bad teams that can't run. They've lost to those teams too. Bad teams that run sometimes, but not at others. They've lost to those. Kobe Bryant played all 48 minutes tonight. Let me rephrase. He would have played all 48 minutes had the game been competitive enough for that. He played 47-20. Maybe he doesn't, again, doesn't understand the urgency. And save Friday's game against Memphis, where he did ask out because he was getting tired and worn down against that defense, has basically played 48 minutes all week, going back to last week's game in Sacramento. Our Twitter feed just blew up.
At Cam Brothers. Because we want to keep it blowing up.
About Mike D'Antoni's inability to play a rotation. Since Steve Nash has gone out, they basically played 7 guys. How much of a factor, Andy, do you think this is? Because D'Antoni said again after the game, it's really up to Kobe whether or not he comes in and out of these games.
Well, I mean, it's hard to pit this particular loss on that, because they've lost to the Clippers 3 times leading up to it, and they've lost to good teams all season.
Again, 3-14 now, I think, against the top 5 in the West.
It's hard to think that Kobe getting a breather because you gave Chris Duhon or Darius Morris some run was the missing piece. But in terms of the actual practice from D'Antoni, this is something, because D'Antoni, his entire coaching career has been very short rotation. He's rarely gone above 8 guys, you know, especially when you start getting closer and closer to the playoffs. Right,
occasionally 9, but the reputation is always he's a short rotation, which, by the way, makes it easier to stick to this issue as a fan and be like, there's the problem.
Right. And it's something that actually, as a coach, I've thought has been D'Antoni's biggest weakness for all the way people harp on being married to a system or defensive mindset or whatever. I actually think this has been the biggest failing of D'Antoni throughout his career as a coach, just because when you play the way you want to play as Mike D'Antoni, you need guys to have as fresh a legs as possible. And I think at times he does risk running them into the ground, if not flat out does it. But right now with what's going on, I got to say, it's difficult for him. It is legitimately difficult because his options are so bad right now with the players that are missing, with Nash out and Meta World Peace out.
If those guys were there, he would be playing at least 8 or 9 guys.
He absolutely would. I mean, maybe Earl Clark doesn't get as many minutes as he's getting now, although the way Clark is playing.
Right. Earl Clark played 25 and a half minutes on Sunday. You know, Jameson played 17.
Right.
You know, but Blake played 29-25.
Exactly. I mean, he would be going with an 8-man rotation, maybe 9. I mean, who knows what would be going on if Jordan Hill was available.
Right.
But it's difficult for D'Antoni now because these games matter so much, and his options to spell Kobe are really bad.
And it's funny you say Kobe, because D'Antoni pointed this out, and before you say, and I actually talked to a couple players about this in the locker room, so it's not just D'Antoni, and they basically agree with him. It's not, you know, because D'Antoni was asked after Sunday's game about fatigue. And when the team gets fatigued, what do you do? And he said, it's not the team. I'm quoting him now. It's not the team. Kobe's probably a little tired, but I don't think Dwight's tired.
And there's no probably.
I do think Dwight looked a little tired on Sunday, but again, yes, you expect in a game like this, you would expect Dwight Howard to play close to 40 minutes, which is basically what he did. Powell wasn't tired. I asked Powell, "Is ready to sub?" And he said, "No, I feel great. We don't have a fatigue issue. That's not an issue. Tonight, I thought they, meaning the Clippers, were a little bit more athletic, a little bit quicker to the ball, and better tonight. I don't think it's a fatigue issue. Clippers have been quicker to the ball and more athletic and whatever all year." But you really, it's a question of, do you play Kobe less? Because he's really the only guy playing unusually large minutes.
Or look, if you thought, you know, because I agree with you, Howard was tired after
the game.
He didn't
have much hop, but he didn't have much hop in the first half either.
And he was pissed off after the game. You know, I tried to ask him about the four rebounds, and he essentially gave me a next question, you know, Drew Rosenhaus, which is how he essentially answered every question.
That's a clown question, bro. That's what he said to you.
I would at least like that better.
I love, that is the greatest answer to a question in the history of media. That's a clown question, bro.
That was a phenomenal response by Bryce Harper. But along those same lines with Dwight Howard or Powell, if you think they're tired, is the answer really Robert Sacre? Especially when, and this is where the Lakers and I think D'Antoni have legitimately had an issue, particularly when you're often playing either from behind,
right,
or a very tight game against a good team like they had against Memphis or against the Clippers.
There's no cushion to
mostly
put guys in.
Behind. Right. You don't.
Sacramento game was too close.
If they were up more often, like if say they started the fourth quarter up six, then I would say, you know what, D'Antoni should make the call.
Right.
And sit Kobe for like 3 minutes to start the quarter.
Even if you lose the 6-point lead, you have a fresh Kobe
down
the stretch. They started the fourth quarter down, I want to say, like 12 or 13 on Sunday.
At that point, if you're looking to try to win, you have to be playing your best players, if at all possible, or at the very least, avoiding the ones that you think are the worst.
What it gets to, this reminds me of that scene, that great scene in Argo where they're pitching the idea of doing this fake movie to get the hostages out. Or not to get the hostages out, but to get those, you know, the people from the embassy
Canadian
out,
map.
The Canadian, you know, get them out of the house. And they present it to the CIA, and he says, you know, you don't have a better bad idea. And Brian Cranston's response is, this is the best bad idea that we have, sir. And to some degree, I mean, look, it's easy to look at it when they lose and say it's a problem, but what caused this is not necessarily Mike D'Antoni. I agree with you. It's a problem that he's had throughout his career. But this is
what
happens.
It was my biggest concern when they actually hired
him. This is what happens when you lose an 18-point lead to Washington at home. It's what happens when you lose to Orlando. It's what throw out their record against the good teams. If the Lakers had two or three games that they could play with where they're not—
Lose to Cleveland earlier in the season.
Yes, where they're not— Right up, they're out of the. They lose Sunday night. Until the Jazz play their game Sunday night, they are currently out of the playoffs. They don't have a cushion. They're choosing between really bad options, and it's their own fault that they're there, because injuries have been a massive problem for the team all year. But there are still too many games that they lost that they had no. You don't lose to Phoenix twice. You don't lose to Orlando.
Right.
You don't lose to Washington.
And if
at
you
home.
If you want to pit, you know, game by game, case by case, or even the whole season, those losses on, if you want to pin them on D'Antoni. Fine.
Okay.
I mean, depending on what
sure.
your explanation is, fine. But it doesn't necessarily change what's going on right now. And I know people are going to hear this and think we're being D'Antoni apologists, because we've been accused of that a lot during the season. But I think it's really hard for him right now. I think
it's
difficult.
Yeah, if he, as he said, he went on to say, you know, right now, I don't know, if I sit him down and we lose, that's not going to work either. And point of fact, he's exactly right. If he sits Kobe and plays Darius Morris for 5 minutes or whatever, and they, you know, lose, you know, a lead goes from, or deficit, whatever it is, goes from 3-8. What the bleep are you doing playing Darius Morris?
You got the
Morris?
Season on the line.
The
you're playing
on the
Darius
line,
Morris.
You're playing Darius Morris or Chris Duhon, who, by the way, people hate. So he's a really good guy, but everyone hates. I mean, nobody wants to see these
on
guys
the court,
on the
court. On a personal level,
he's
they
a
like
really
the
nice guy.
I mean, so there may be
I see this as a function of the situation they're in and the situation they've put themselves in.
Looking
so much
ahead to this
choice.
Week, you know, maybe the Portland game, which is, you know, the second of a back-to-back, you know, the first one at Staples against New Orleans.
Right, Tuesday night and Wednesday.
Maybe you have to bite the bullet, you know, on the second end of a back-to-back against a younger team that, you know,
but
always
you win.
Is tough
if you,
to play.
Especially if you don't win Tuesday,
right.
Kobe's going to play 48 minutes
if
the
you
next
don't,
night.
Look, yeah, obviously, if you don't play, if you don't win Tuesday, then what difference does it make if you run Kobe
basically,
into the
ground? They don't win Tuesday. They don't win Tuesday and Wednesday. The last two lottery teams, I know there are a lot of scenarios in which you could look at Golden State, San Antonio, and then Houston, the last three games they play, and say, well, maybe they'd sit some guys or the Houston could be locked in or whatever, but you can't count on any of that. You have to count on playing full squads for all those teams. if you lose to either lottery team that they have left on the schedule, you can kind of pack it in. Especially they have to have a better record than Utah.
Especially because Utah is going to be getting two games against Minnesota,
right?
Who is a bad lottery team.
Right. They play Oklahoma City. They play some good teams.
But two games against Minnesota, and they are falling apart.
Yeah.
That team is absolutely just off the rails.
So obviously a huge week coming up for the Lakers, but it was also a big week for the Clippers, Andy.
Huge week. Pacific Division title in franchise history.
Woot woot.
51 wins and counting.
Right.
Most wins in franchise history, and it is the first time since the 1974-1975 season. And to put this in perspective, how long ago this was.
I was not alive.
No,
I was not alive. You were not 1975 season.
You were not alive. Season. That is true. You were not alive.
And I'm not a young man. I'm not an old man, but I'm not like, you know,
to put this
22.
To put this in perspective, Jaws was released that year. Gerald Ford was president. The Vietnam War was officially ending. And the franchise that we were referring to was then known as the Buffalo Braves.
Your point being, you got to go back a ways.
You got to go back a ways. And since then, the Lakers have gone on to capture 10 titles. So it lets you know that while the Clippers have done something very good this year, I mean, they are legitimately playing well. It pales laughably by comparison to what the Clippers have done. What the Lakers have done. And it leads to the idea of how are the Clippers supposed to regard what they're doing right now?
Because everything the Clippers do is in relation, and that's why it's like, you know, this is an LA basketball question.
Exactly.
It's not just a Lakers question, not just a Clippers question. This is a question of how like a franchise is perceived in the city.
Right. And I asked Jamal Crawford after the game about this, and
by the way, Kobe endorsed as sixth man of the year.
He's had a hell of a season. You were so wrong about that signing, Brian.
I was
you
also apparently
it.
Wrong about the Dwight Howard and Steve Nash trades. It has not been a great year for my predictions.
You know what, though? We both were very on board with Jameson and Meeks, and they've been all right.
They've been good. Meeks's three-point shooting has been a little suspect.
For the most part, like what?
He's been fine.
They're paying him, what, like a mil and a half or something?
Closer to three.
Three?
I thought. I don't know. It was a 2 years, three something.
Oh, okay.
Either way, he needs to hit more 3-pointers.
He does. Yes, he does.
Jody Meeks.
But I asked Jamal Crawford about this, and I thought this was a really great perspective on it. And he said, we'll be long retired by the time we finally catch up to the Lakers because they've got so much history.
No, they won't be long retired. They'll be dead.
It's like trying to fight a ghost. For us, it's just about the little small stepping stones continuing to get better. It's all about what we're doing. They're going to get attention if they're playing well or not. For us, we won 17 games in a row, and not too many people acknowledged outside the city. But whatever, we're just trying to play good basketball heading into the playoffs. And that's the right attitude.
Right, sure.
But it leads to this eternal question.
Pacific Division title, there were apparently T-shirts printed up. I don't think they did the thing where they put the cellophane up in front of the lockers and everybody's doing the champagne
bath. I was in the Clipper locker room.
They don't really do that in basketball aside from titles. Like, I've never seen anybody do that for like a Western Conference championship.
I don't think they do. It's not like baseball. And
baseball,
it's not like
they celebrate like every round, like every game. Every round, it seems like.
You know what? A lot of people in baseball like to drink, and there's a lot of beer laying around. But
Josh Beckett's in there eating beer and chicken anyway. You might as well use it in a celebratory manner.
Our friend A. Martinez told us a great story, and I'm not going to say the player because, to the best of my knowledge, he's never said who it is publicly. But he told a great story about a player, and he knows this for a fact, who used to just basically travel with his booze in his suitcase instead of clothes.
Right, he would buy clothes on the road, and
basically just have suitcases filled with booze on the road. Because, you know, there's not enough time once you land, I guess, to go to a liquor store in the new town. You got to just have it ready. You'll buy clothes when you need the clothes.
Who was it, John Kruk, who said, I'm not a baseball player, I'm not an athlete, I'm a baseball player?
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of thing.
But, and this is something that gets debated all the time on ESPN LA 710 and probably 570 and everyone's sports radio. Should the Clippers hang a division banner inside Staples Center? Because currently there is not a shred of,
you wouldn't know if you walked in on it. Right.
Well,
there's no retired jerseys, no retired Ralph Lawler, which is actually the one guy you could think of that they could do. And they've never won anything,
right.
So they don't have anything to hang.
There's no evidence up there that they play, you know, forget all the Lakers banners. You got Sparks. You've got...
For a while, I think there was like a... What was the arena team? The Avengers. I think the Avengers had banners
up. Yeah, I mean, the Kings just won a Stanley Cup.
That's up there. They've got four or five retired jerseys.
Right. And there's nothing for the Clippers. And the idea of should they hang a banner? And players, their reactions have largely been either they don't want to do it because they're playing for a championship, or Jamal Crawford said today that he thinks it should be up to the fans. And if the fans want it, they'll put it up. If they don't, they won't. What do you think they should do, Brian?
I think they should take it and hang it halfway. Just raise it like halfway up. And sure, you have some obstructed view seats and all that, but at least you're acknowledging it, but not putting it up at the same level. I think they should hang it, and I'll tell you why. And I totally get the argument that it's an embarrassment compared to the 16 titles that the Lakers hang, and they don't hang anything. They don't hang finals.
It's embarrassing since Western. What the Lakers have done since 2000 on.
Right. It's and you know what?
2009 on.
It is. Yes. But there's no way around it. And even, let's say they win a...
The Lakers have retired more numbers since 2009 than the Clippers have retired, period.
Banners. I mean, it's just like...
Since 2010. Forget when they won championships.
They've done it two more this year. Yes. They've done two this year.
Yes.
But I was talking to one of the Lakers guys on the Lakers staff today about this. He's like, I don't understand why they don't have any retired numbers. I'm like, who? You have Ralph Lawler, who they should have a microphone.
Absolutely.
Up for,
he's a legitimate icon as
right.
a broadcaster.
He's been there all the way through, and he's the guy. But it's like, you know, immortalize Mo. You could go back maybe to Bob McAdoo, but like Danny Manning got hurt too fast to be that great. Put Maurice Taylor. That's more embarrassing than a Pacific Division.
Actually,
hanging Mo Taylor's jersey.
Mo Taylor at one point would have been
Benoit Benjamin. I mean, who do you
remember
put up
when,
there?
When things were going?
Norm Nixon's thought of as a Laker more than anything.
When things were going bad for the Clippers, I was about to say, but specifically one period, Mo Taylor was the only guy I ever heard say publicly, "Yeah, I want to resign." Like, that in and of itself should get him a retired number, because he actually at one point was willing to go back. Like, who are you going to go? I mean, EB? EB was there half the time because they matched an offer from Miami.
He
wanted
to
leave.
Out of here. Please. But he asked them nicely, please don't match this one. But, you know, I think...
He should have been a dick about it,
right.
Like Lamar.
They don't have anybody to put up. So it's like... I think, and I get that it's a total embarrassment compared to the Lakers, because it is. But if you want to stop being compared to the team that you share the building with, stop viewing everything that you do in the prism of them.
Right.
And so the Lakers have all this stuff, and you know, we can't hang that because it looks bad. Well, you know what? If you're proud of what you've done and you think it's a stepping stone and something you want to build off of, and people look at it and say, the next thing we're going to get is a Western Conference thing, and the next thing after that is our own title banner, put the fucking thing up. You know, put it up.
It's like the way
it's embarrassing, it's yes, like, but put it up, because you know you're never going to stop being, as long as they don't do things that other teams would do.
Right.
And other teams would probably hang that up.
I think the Kings, for example, they put up division
right,
titles
I mean,
and
the,
stuff like
the,
that.
The, you know, maybe the Spurs might not, however, most teams around the league would probably
that's
hang
what I meant,
that
the Sacramento
up.
Kings, right. To clarify, I don't mean the Los Angeles Kings.
If that's what you stop. Start behaving like other teams would, and stop. And that's why I think they should put it up. I get the flip side of it, and Laker fans are absolutely would be right to point at it every time they walked in, and Twitter at it, and tee hee, and all these other things, and look
titter at it, not Twitter. You're not going to actually tweet about it
at Pacific Division banner.
Well, you know, if they're going to put it up, they should.
It should have its own Twitter.
It should
feed.
Have.
Actually, if they do put it up, I will start. I'm totally going to do that.
Now, what I was thinking though, because I agree with you, they should put it up. But the problem it has is that it looks so ridiculous and isolated.
Sad and lonely.
I mean, again, forget what the Lakers have. Sparks, Kings, whatnot. So I was thinking, like, they need to do, like, maybe some ways to counter it. Make the banner huge. like four times as big as a regular banner. I mean, just a huge, basically takes up, like, an entire section, this one banner. That's one way to do it. A hologram banner.
That's cool.
A hologram. I mean, because that's something
it's like
eye catching.
It's coming right at
it's
you.
It's going to get way more attention. Or maybe something that has like graphics in it, like that hangs down. There's like a few like TV screens in there that have Clipper highlights going. Just something eye catching, or like a ring of fire, like just something like really crazy, like this huge banner.
I just like the idea.
Like a Ghost Rider made out of fire, like something like that.
I think what you do is you just have this thing constantly playing where somebody's in it, like Ralph Lawler in the middle of it goes, Pacific Division, bitches, and just throws the mic down.
No, he'd go, Pacific Division.
Just throw down the mic.
Pacific Division, bingo! Or, anyway, you know, like a big, maybe like a big CP3 head, like the Peja heads.
Hang the banner.
You gotta do something.
Hang the banner, show some pride in what you've done. Stop comparing yourself to the Lakers, who are infinitely better than you in every way and will be that way for as long as...
But make the banner upstage there. That would be my advice. Come up with a banner.
It would be a very new money thing to do. And the Clippers are a new money team.
Or you go the other way.
And just make it so small.
No, I was going to say, you go the other way. And on the sly, remove
all the other Laker banners.
Yeah, just, you know, but just slowly, like, you know, maybe once.
Like, how many do you think have come down months? before?
The first one, no
one. Like, remove one of the ones from Minnesota or whatever.
Right. No one's going to notice.
I thought we won 16.
But I mean,
I guess
you're not.
Even, there are only 13 banners.
You're
up
not
there.
Even going to. No, it's not even that, though. It's like in Shawshank. Remember how often you look at a man's shoes?
Exactly.
The first one, no one's going to notice. Second one, probably not. By the time people really start to notice, they've noticed your banner. So it's fine. That's what I would do. One or the other. You either upstage their banner or just very methodically, slowly remove Laker gear.
Could have sworn they
you move a Sparks one, nobody's going to notice.
Could have sworn they retired Shaq's number, but I guess I don't see the banner up there. Huh. Man, you'd think they would retire Kareem at this point. Guess not. Anyway, I realize it's not, you know, a purely Lakers topic, but I just think it's a fascinating kind of discussion.
Los Angeles
for
basketball.
LA basketball and like where these two teams are right now. So I like it. All right.
But any Laker fan who says that they don't care, they only care when the Lakers don't care when the Lakers aren't as good as the Clippers.
Right.
Any other time, they care a lot.
Care a little bit. Okay. Andy, anything else?
Yes. Today at the Laker Clipper game.
Oh, right.
The pop songstress, pop star Rihanna was there.
Yes, she was.
Taking in the game courtside, causing quite a stir. In part because she's Rihanna, and she is even by jaded LA standards a very big star, so people are going to be looking over at her. But also because she was wearing a loose t-shirt.
She was wearing a sleeveless t-shirt.
I was going to say a loose
with no brassiere,
no bra, none,
no support. No, she's not a full figured woman, so
no.
She's not heavy, you know, big chested.
But
she's chested enough.
She's got one. She has enough to support, and I know this. Because I saw side boob, Brian.
That's right.
She walked past me at one point, and I saw side boob because I was looking. Very,
that was
very
probably
intently.
The highlight of the day for any Lakers
and
fan.
Then walking slowly to kind of stay parallel with her so I could see more side boob. But I saw a decent amount of Rihanna's side boob.
Nice.
And I don't feel bad saying this because I know she wanted me to see it.
If you don't, you wear a different shirt.
She, you know.
Hey, conversation's over here. Buster.
It wasn't even like I was looking down. It's like I was looking to her side. I mean, it's like
that is something that always drives me a little bit nuts when women do that. Like they wear, like you see this, like you going out, like everybody remembers this when you're in like your 20s, people going out in the club and there are women there wearing like, it's almost pornographic what they have on, and you're wearing that, and like you know, you're a guy. You
never at the club.
Glance, it's true, but you kind of glance down or whatever. Hey, conversation's up here. Oh, shut up! Shut up! I'm not reaching out and grabbing them, but I mean,
right.
Like, come on, like you're not wearing that, so I look. That's all I have to say about that.
But yes, yeah, so I saw Rihanna's side boob, and I would say for anybody else who is in the position to see Rihanna's side boob,
mm-hmm.
I recommend it.
I think public
you should,
service
I think you should
from,
look.
From us
and
to
she
you.
Will likely give you the opportunity to look at some point. She's, you know what?
Why do I have a horrible feeling that one day we will be the host of a show called Celebrity Side Boob? Like, that's as high.
What are you pissed off about? We're working.
I'd be
stoked.
Like, when people say, where do the K-Bros end up? Oh, yeah, no, they're hosting Celebrity Side Boob.
You know what, man? If it's a decent contract with decent money, reasonable network, I mean,
Hard to get too many podcast topics out of that, though. It's all a little one note.
Today, we're talking side boob.
Look, guys, I know we spend a lot of time talking side boob, not even front boob or, you know, above boob or whatever, like the over cleavage area. But the show, the name of the show is Celebrity Side Boob. So if you're clicking here, you know what you're getting.
It doesn't feel like a show with a lot of legs.
No.
But yeah.
Season 5 Celebrity Side Boob premieres.
But yeah, I saw Rihanna's side boob, and it's among really, I'd say, the few, so even living in LA as long as I have, it's among the few celebrity side boobs that I've seen up close.
Uh-huh.
And I enjoy it. That's all I got to say about that.
Been here for more than 20 years, so that's something to think about. Andy, anything else? Any other cleavage you'd like to bring up?
No, I'm good.
All right. See everybody next
time. See ya.